chapter 39. Lord willing, I think this will be the last message on the eagles out of Job chapter 39. One thing I've learned, I was talking to preacher Greg Thompson yesterday. I told him, I said, I could easily preach six more messages probably on the subject of the eagle. There's so much, and we've skipped over some things and not gone into very much detail on some other things, but I think for now this will be it, because I've got some other things I've been thinking about and praying about, but today we'll preach at least one more time this message on the subject of the eagle. Job chapter 39 and verses 27 through 30. Let's read those verses and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Job chapter 39 and verse 27, the Bible says, "Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock, in the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for letting us be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, we are thankful for just the opportunity to come and hear the choir sing. And Lord, we just appreciate so much the good Sunday school lesson. And Lord, how we're reminded of what's required of us. And God, to see the example of others gone before us. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'd help me this morning. I pray you'd speak to our hearts, all of our hearts. Lord, from thy word, I pray, God, you'd give us a desire that, Lord, we would want to live our lives as Christians that could be an example to others. And, Lord, that's what I see when we look at the eagle and study about the things that you've shown us in the word of God and the truths there. Lord, I pray for your help. Lord, I pray you'd help us this morning. I pray for our country, our county. Lord, I pray for revival in our midst. I pray for your stirring and moving here at Mount Lebanon. God, that we could see souls saved and have a successful Bible school and the Word of God go out. Lord, just help the teachers as they prepare and help me. And we just need your help so much. Lord, have your way today. Well, thank you for all that you do. Lord, I'm nothing in and of myself. I need thy help. I ask for it humbly now in Jesus' name and amen. And I'm thankful that the Lord led me back into preaching this series of messages on the eagle. It's helped me, and I hope it's helped other people. It's helped me sort of remember where my life needs to be and where I want my life to be. What I've got out of this second time of preaching through this series, and it's been 7 years since the last time I preached this series of messages, but it's helped me. What I seen different this time, or what the Lord emphasized on my heart this time, is that that's the type of Christian that I want to be. And I think the very first message that I preached on this, I hit the point that the eagle lives a life that others look up to. When others see the eagle fly, they'll stop and look up. You'll stop and watch an eagle fly where you wouldn't necessarily stop and watch a vulture or a robin or a crow or something like that. But if you've seen an eagle, that'd be worth stopping and looking at. And I have a desire to live a life that others would be drawn to. The majestic life of the eagle. And so God has called us to live lives that are different from the way other people live their lives. We should live a life that is an example to others. And so that's one thing that I've got out of this series of messages on the eagle. Now we're going to look at verse number 30 today. And I've mentioned we preached on several different aspects of the eagle's life: the supremacy of the eagle, the solitude of the eagle, the soaring of the eagle, her steadfastness, her sight, her secret. We've looked at all these different things in these messages. This morning, I want us to look at the subject of her sons, her offspring. It says in verse number 30, her young ones. It makes a reference there to her young ones. And what I want to do in today's message, Lord willing, is I want us to notice three times in the eagle's life when it is in the greatest danger of dying. And I want us to compare that this morning with the Christian's life. Now, I don't think I need to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it this morning. You know that I'm not making reference to a Christian losing their salvation. We don't lose our salvation. We're not saved and lost and saved and lost like some people teach. When we're saved, the Bible says in many places, but just one example, John 10 and 28 and 29, Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, we are not of those which believe in falling from grace. And I paraphrase just a little bit, but of falling back into perdition. We're not those that believe that you can lose your salvation. The Bible says in Romans 11 and 29, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When God gives us the gift of eternal salvation, He does not take it back and give it back and take it back and all those things. Some people believe that. The Bible does not teach that. But as I've said many times before, as Christians, we do have battles in our lives. We have struggles in our lives. In the fact that we have battles, sometimes we lose the battle, sometimes we win the battle. If we lose the battle, it's our fault. If we win the battle, it's the Lord's fault. Don't think you can win any battle in and of your own self. We just can't do it. We're made of the wrong stuff. We're made of flesh. Our flesh is fallen. If we have any victory, it's a victory in the Spirit. And we get it by living in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. But we do have battles in our lives. Sometimes when we have battles, there are casualties. I've said this before. Not all prodigals make it home. Sometimes they die in the wilderness. Life is rough. It's harsh. There's battles. There's problems. Sometimes Christians are hurt by other Christians. Sometimes Christians are hurt because wolves come in among God's flock. We could preach a long time on all of these subjects. I've preached many times. Just recently, I preached a whole series of messages on the devil. The Bible says the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes he gets the victory in the battle concerning us, and he ruins our lives and wrecks our lives and causes untold amount of problems in our lives. So there's a lot of obstacles to overcome. Sometimes just by the fact that we have sin in our lives and we do not deal with that sin, we lose battles in our lives. We go through periods of despair and fear and discouragement, and sometimes we fall in love with the world and it wrecks our testimony, and then sometimes we get built up with pride in our lives, and it and so you see what I'm saying this morning. There's all kinds of obstacles out there. Problems in our lives, and sometimes they're very, very serious. And so I want us to look today at three times in the eagle's life when it is the closest to dying or in the most imminent presence of danger, and try to draw some spiritual help from those things. Now, the first thing we're going to look at today is the life of the eagle when it is a fledgling. And this is what it's talking about, I believe, in verse number 30, where it says, "Her young ones also suck up blood." That's talking about the eaglet that has just been hatched. It is called a fledgling. That's the, I guess what you call the scientific term for it, but the baby eaglet, the fledgling, when it is young, when its parents are feeding it in the nest and bringing the food to it. And of course, and I don't want to be too graphic this morning, but talking about the blood, that's what gives them life and strength, and they will grow very quickly in the nest. The parents, the mother, and the father, they will spend every day, all day, finding food and bringing food to the baby eaglet in the nest. Now, there's something you need to know about the baby eagle. It is ugly. You know, you've heard the saying, it's so ugly, it's cute. Well, they're not even that ugly. I mean, they're just ugly, ugly. That's all they are. And Sister Glenda brought me a tie, and I saved it for this day. But now the tie's not ugly, but it's got a baby eaglet on it. And they're just ugly. They're just white balls with a big old yellow beak and big old black eyes, but it's all disproportionate to its body, and they can't even stand up to begin with. They just look awful. They look nothing like the mother and the father eagle because they're not mature yet. And you know what? There's a spiritual application there when we are babes in Christ. When we are just saved, many times we're like the baby eagle. We don't look anything like our Lord. I heard a preacher preach a while back, and he was giving his testimony about how he got saved. When he got saved, he was a young man, a teenager, and when he got saved, he was actually homeless. And he said he was homeless and living on the street. And he said he looked like a booger man. You know, he just said looked awful. Didn't have a haircut. Had shorts on and a tank top and earrings all over him and everything. But he knew he'd gotten saved. And he knew a young Christian was supposed to tell others about Christ. And he said there he was trying in his just being saved, trying to obey the Lord. And he said, I'd go up to people and they thought I was going to rob them. But I was trying to tell them about the Lord. He's a baby Christian. He didn't look like a Christian ought to look. And you realize what I'm saying this morning, just because you look like a Christian don't mean you are one, but a baby, an immature babe in the Lord. The baby eagle, one thing about it, it does grow very fast if it makes it as a baby eagle. Now, there's two things I want to tell you about the fledgling eagle before I go on this morning, and I'm going to go through these quickly. Number one, there is the danger within. The danger within. Most eagles can have from 1 to 4 eaglets, but they usually end up only raising one. And the reason they end up only raising one is because these eagles, they are born, one will be born anywhere from one to, or hatch, 1 to 2 days before the other one. So if we were able to look into a eagle's nest that had baby eaglets in there, first thing you'd notice is that one's a lot bigger than the other one. And they'll stay that way for several weeks until the other one catches up. But it might not catch up. There's something called the Cain and Abel syndrome. And that is even in... That's what scientists call it. But the Cain and Abel syndrome, and especially if there's 4 eaglets or 3 and even 2, many times the older one will end up killing the younger one. As it grows and gets just a little bit, when it gets to that point where it can peck and things like that, many times the older one will kill the younger one. And I think about, I was reading this morning in Galatians 5:15, where it's talking about living in the flesh and living in the spirit, and it has a warning there. It says, but if ye bite and devour one another, be careful that ye be not consumed one of another. And you know what many times happens in church among immature Christians, many times we'll do that very thing. We'll bite and devour one another, and so one Christian will harm another Christian to the point that it kills their spirituality. You know, there's a lot of people not in church today. And the reason they're not in church today is because if you went and talked to them, they'd say, well, I did go, but somebody hurt them. Somebody hurt them bad. Now, you say, well, they're just not saved. Well, they may not be saved, but there's a lot of people that are saved. They have been saved, but they were hurt terribly as a young Christian and never got over it. We need to be very careful in God's house, among God's people, that when we're dealing with one another, and I know how it is this morning. I can stand up here this morning. I've hurt people before. In my zeal for the Lord and my knowledge and my wanting to do right and wanting everybody else to do right, I'll admit it. I've hurt people. I know I have. Many times in my younger ministry, and the Lord showed me something one time about the Bible and about Peter taking the sword and cutting the fellow's ear off. And I was reading that one time, and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, you better be careful with that sword. You could kill somebody. See, the Word of God is like a sword. And so I'm for being zealous and preaching the Word of God, and thus saith the Lord. But now, you need to be careful in feeding a baby. You might kill it. You can hurt it. There's the danger within. We need to be careful among God's people that we're kind, that we're loving, that we use wisdom. And as the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself likewise, lest thou also be tempted. So we need to be careful in God's house. There's some babies in the house. There's some immature. There's some fledglings among God's people. There's the danger within. Second of all, there's the danger without. Now, the eagle in its natural estate has very few natural enemies. For one thing, it lives where most other birds have no desire to live. It's too far away from their food. It's too cold up there. There's several reasons why other birds do not live upon the rock, upon the high place. So just by nature of where it lives, it doesn't have. And the strength of the eagle, other birds, you know, when they fly around and see the eagle, they'd have the attitude like we might say, I don't want none of that. You know, a crow is not going to attack an eagle, a robin. You see what I'm saying this morning? Other animals on all fours don't go up where the eagle lives. But there's one enemy that the eagle has above all other animals, and you'd never guess what it was this morning if I gave you. You might if you think about it. What bothers us? What does the Bible talk about in the book of Genesis? Where's the very first time that the devil gave us problems in the Word of God? You know what he appeared as? A serpent. The serpent is the number one enemy of the eagle, because the serpent also lives up in the rocks, and the serpent can go and get into the nest. If it can get into the nest, and it's very rarely that it would get into the nest when the eagle's not there, because the eagle's sitting on the nest watching its eggs. But a snake can get into an eagle's nest and eat its eggs. Or after the fledglings are born and the mom and the dad are out trying to find food, and just that first little time when they start to leave Junior alone, the snake can come into the nest and kill a baby eagle and eat it and haul it off. Now, it rarely happens because the parents are so watchful over their young. And that little eagle is not used to having any other movement in the nest except the mom and the dad and the little brother or the little sister. And if anything else moves, they'll cry and squawk. And the mom and the dad, they can fly. If an eagle is up in the air, it can dive at over 200 miles an hour. So they don't get far away. They do have to watch out for the serpent in the nest. I could preach right there a little while this morning. Got to be careful for the serpent in the nest, because the serpent in the nest will destroy our young if we are not very, very watchful over our homes and what goes on in our homes. You know, I read something just last night. I was studying, and this, and I've mentioned this before, but the Barna Research Group, every year Mr. Barna conducts surveys, and he will he'll print books about the state of the church in America, and they do polls and surveys and ask people questions. And he has a new study that he's come out with. He's been studying for several years about the decay of spirituality in America among Christians. And the newest study that he has done is along the lines of Christian parents raising their children with a politically correct attitude. Just letting their children, not telling them there's such a thing as right and wrong, but just letting their children make up their minds for themselves, because somewhere along the line they've got the idea from the world that they should let their children make their own decisions. And just, you know, just be open to everything that comes and goes. And he was saying that it's lunacy to raise your children that way. That to just teach them, you know, well, you just need to decide for yourself and look at all the options. And he was saying that political correctness was killing faith among young people in America, because their parents are not impressing upon them the seriousness of Christianity and that Christ must be chosen. I thought that's pretty interesting. You know, it's one thing when the devil sneaks around and comes into the nest and makes a complete, has destruction in our lives, but hey, we're living in a day and time where parents are just opening the door and letting him in. Better be careful. Better be careful how we raise our children, what we let into our homes. Better be careful, and we better know what teachers are teaching down at the school. And if your children goes off to visit in some other church with a friend, you'd better know what's going on down there. It may be absolutely contrary to what we believe according to the Word of God. That's just the day and time we're living in. You say, preacher, is things bad? Well, let me give you this and I'll move on. Monday, this past Monday, on the front page of the Winston-Salem Journal, it had two articles on the front page. One was about the Wake Forest Baptist Church. That's the actual church that's on the campus of Wake Forest. And the other was about their new pastor. Miss Yarborough is the new pastor. She's the first openly lesbian pastor they've ever had. Good for them. That, you know, that's what I thought when I read that. My goodness, that's the day and time we're living in. That a Baptist church would have a woman for a pastor, an open lesbian for a pastor. Our society's all messed up. You better watch out. But I'll tell you, that article, it just paints it all in such a good picture. It just about make you want to go visit. You know I'm kidding. You know I'm not being serious. The fledgling. But you know what got me about that? There's a lot of people would read that and think there's nothing wrong with it. Good night. Read the Bible. What's the Word of God say? Anyway, there's the fledgling. Bear watch out for those little ones. There's the danger within. Let's not kill each other. There's the danger without. Let's not let the devil in and make a mess and a mockery and a massacre out of us this morning. There's the fledgling. Second of all, there's the juvenile. Now, it takes several weeks, even months, for this little fledgling to shed its downy feathers and for them to be replaced with flying feathers, and to it get to the point where it actually looks like an eagle. And the only way you can tell in the golden eagle, a mature eagle from an immature golden eagle, is the mature eagle, every year that it lives, its golden crown gets brighter and comes down farther on its head and on its neck. And the young eagle will look exactly like the old eagle, but it won't have that crown. Somebody said, preacher, are you going to die? Why don't you dye your hair black? I paid a lot for that. And the Bible says that the hoary head, that's a white head, is a crown of glory. Why would I want to dip my crown in mud and make it be a dip? I'll just let it be gray. The way I look for it, it costs a lot to have gray hair. And I believe that same thing that God is showing us in the golden eagle and the American bald eagle, they get that by years of experience. It shows that they've lived and they fought and they battled and they've matured. I don't know why we're so obsessed with covering up that we're mature. But anyway, the juvenile eagle, he's got his flying feathers. There's a lot I could preach on this morning about the first time that the parents take them out and teach them how to fly and teach them how to hunt and all of these things. But the juvenile, if we go along now in the juvenile's life, it looks like an eagle, but it doesn't have a crown. It can fly, it can hunt, it can catch its own food most of the time. More often than not, it can be successful in the hunt. The eagle is considered a juvenile from 1 to 3 years old. It will live with its parents until it is a very successful hunter. And it can do all these things by itself. And it'll live there in the nest, and it'll look like 3 or 4 adult eagles living in the same nest. But the eagles are very safe as long as they live with their parents. The time of danger is when the first separation from home comes and the eagle comes to the point where it desires and where its natural instincts, it's time to go get married. It's time to have a mate. It's time to move off on its own, and it will leave the nest and go out in search of a mate. You see, it won't build a nest until it has a mate. Won't start to build a nest until it gets married and has a mate. There's some preaching right there too. Hey man, I kid with my young people sometimes. I say, you better get busy. You know, we're kicking you out here in a few years, but I'm kidding. I don't want them to leave home until they're ready to leave home. I do want them to get ready to leave home, but I don't want them to leave home until they're ready to leave home, because you're just asking for trouble. Say, oh, preacher, no. We got to get them out. We got to get them out among the college crowd and get them out and living in the world and used to all that. Do you know how many Christian people in our day and time are dying out in the world? They never make it back to their roots where they grew up. That's the most dangerous time of their lives. It's when they get to the point to where they go out on their own. I'm talking again about the eagle right now, and they begin to look for a mate. 1 in 8 eagles die during this time period. You know what? There's more young people. I mean, that'd be a pretty good statistic if you ask me, if we could get to that point, but I think it's far higher. And what I was reading about the Barna research, there's a lot, and I forget what it is, but there's a lot of young people in America right now that are not accepting and carrying on with the faith that their parents had. Whose fault's that? But the eagle, the reason that 1 in 8 eagles dies is, number one, they get out there and they find out that they're not as good a hunter as they thought they were, and they die of starvation. They just can't make it. Or they are unable to find shelter from the elements. Let me preach to young people just a little bit this morning. You young people are going to find out that it is easy for you to make it in your young life on your parents' Christianity. I mean, my children are going to come to church. There's no other option for them. There's never been another option for them. Even as they grow and get older and have their driver's license and things like that, you live in my house, you're going to go to church. That's just the way it is. So they realize there's no other option. They don't wake up on Sunday morning and think to themselves, am I going to go to church this morning? The decision has already been made. They don't have to decide. They're going to get out of the bed and they're going to go to church with us. It's the way it ought to be. In our home, we have prayer. In our home, we have Bible reading. In our home, we talk about the Lord. In our home, we pray. In our home is a Christian home, but I'm the daddy, Kim's the mama. That's the way it's going to be. It's easy like that. My parents took me to church. Took me Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And when we had things at church, we were there. We were involved, but they took us. They made us. I don't remember arguing much because I grew raising mine like I was raised. I never had the option. We're just going to go to church. We're going to pray before we go to bed. We're going to do these things. You young people, now you might say, oh, they're forcing this upon me. Boy, you'll appreciate it one of these days. The true test of whether or not you're going to be a Christian, and I mean live like a Christian, you might be saved. I hope you are this morning. If you're not, you need to be. But the real test of your spirituality is when you get that very first taste of independence. Boy, got my driver's license. Well, go to college, get a job, stuff like that, where you're out of the home more than you were before. And you get to the place where you make your own decisions. I joined the military when I was 17 years old. I left for basic training 10 days after I turned 18 years old. I got married 2 or 3 months after that and was living on my own within 4 months of turning 18 years old in another country, in England. I'll never forget that first Sunday morning I woke up. And I woke up from the time difference and flying all night and everything. I must have got there on Saturday. I can't even remember now. But I woke up on Sunday morning and I'd went in on the Saturday and met my roommate and I went to bed. I was wore out. And I woke up on Sunday and met him and got to talking a little bit. I said, what time is it? He said, man, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock. He said, I thought you was going to sleep all day. I was messed up from the time difference. I missed church that first Sunday, but I never missed another one. But you know what? I could have. Thank God I didn't. Kim and I was talking just the other day. And we was talking about in that first year, if we hadn't gotten church, if we hadn't got some Christian friends, we was talking to ourselves, wonder if we'd have made it. I doubt seriously if we'd have made it. So, oh, preacher, your love must not be very strong. Let me tell you something. People don't get married and fall in hate and get married. They fall in love and get married. They think it is, but it doesn't take them long to fall out of love if you don't have Christ in your life. What's going to hold it together? What glue is there to hold it together? Especially in our day and time, we're not talking about our parents and how they were raised. We're talking about a whole different thing today. And it's hard. It's hard to make it. You have to have Christ in your life. But that first taste of independence in your life is going to tell you what road you're getting ready to go down. And if you young people, if you don't learn to feed yourselves, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it if you don't learn to get in God's Word and get some food out of there. If you don't learn to find shelter from the harsh things out here in this world, you're not going to make it on your own. I'm just telling you, you're not going to make it. You are not going to make it. You're going to make a wreck out of your life. You're going to have all kinds of disappointment and heartache in your life. Your hopes are going to be dashed. Your dreams are going to go down the drain. And you're going to sit somewhere someday and say, what happened to my life? You left it. You didn't keep it up. All your parents are trying to do right now, they're trying to get you the place where you can make it out here on your own. As you grow up, you better learn to get in God's Word and feed yourself. You better learn that where you need to be is in the house of God. That's important. If the eagle makes it, if the If the flesh, I think I stripped a gear a minute ago. Somehow, I don't know. If the fledgling makes it that first year, it'll usually live. If you young people, if you can make it through them first months and years of being alone, if you understand what's important and where you need to be, you'll make it, more than likely. If you don't, you won't. That's why the book of Proverbs, I know I stress and emphasize, but chapter 2, verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words," 3:1, "My son, forget not my law." Chapter 4:1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You parents, just stay on to him. Just keep him on the right track. Keep him in the house of God. Hope and pray and live it before him so they can see what they are supposed to be when they get out on their own. If you don't make it a priority in your home to pray and read the Bible and trust God, look to Him and talk about trusting the Lord and having faith, don't be surprised when they get out and if they don't see it, how are they going to know? Thank God. Thank God today that when I grew up and we'd go to my grandparents on Sundays after church and my grandpa Cornette, he was hardly ever there. And us grandyoungs would be, "Where's Papa at? When's Papa coming home?" Well, he's been preaching. He probably had to go home and eat with somebody, and he'll be along directly. That's how we grew up. And we knew there's more important things in the world. And there's ways to prioritize our lives. But the fledgling, very dangerous time in their lives is the fledgling. And then last of all, this morning, there's a time in the adult eagle's life. Third time of danger in its life. And it's called the moping period. And the moping period in the adult eagle. Now, there's some interesting things about this, what is called the moping period. All eagles do not go through it. Nobody knows why some of them do and some of them don't. That might help and it might hurt. I don't know, but we'll try it. But not all eagles go through the moping period. The moping period of an adult eagle is when a healthy, mature eagle leaves its rock, flies down into the wilderness. It stops hunting. It stops flying. It mopes around and walks around like a turkey. That's why it's called the moping period. Nobody understands why some eagles go through this. But that eagle won't last long living like a turkey. God didn't mean for it to live that way. Nobody understands why eagles go through this. Not all do. Some of them do. But we're talking about mature eagles going through this. We're talking about eagles that have lived like eagles, that have raised young, that have hunted and fought, and they know what living the life of an eagle is all about, but they just stop. And they mope around in the wilderness. You know what I've seen in my Christian life, and I don't understand it, but I've seen some eagle Christians stop living like eagle Christians and get down in the world and mope around, get out of church, run the preacher off, get mad at people in the church, start talking about and running down. And I don't understand that. I don't understand. I've seen, and I was talking with a preacher friend of mine just this past week, and he said, talking about a preacher, he said, he used to go over there till he got messed up. I said, "What do you mean till he got messed up?" "Oh, yeah, got messed up." He told me about, and we wasn't sitting around talking, but another preacher came up, and he said, "Yeah, he died of AIDS." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "How'd he get AIDS?" He said, "Got it from a prostitute." How is it? How is it that sometimes, you know, we If you're a young Christian, I like what Brother Ronnie said last Wednesday night when he said, "Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it." And he said this, he said, that is an experience verse. He said, you can read that verse as a young Christian and you can claim it as a promise. He said, but I'm reading that verse and I'm telling you, you can live that verse. That's an experience verse. There's some things you just won't understand till you go through them. I just couldn't understand about moping around and preachers quitting and Christians quitting and deacons and Sunday school teachers and mamas and daddies that raised their children for God and brought them to church and now they're not in church. I couldn't understand stuff like that. But I'll tell you, God's let me get down and mope around a few times and it's miserable. You ever got like that? Just be honest. Yeah, preacher, I've been there. I've been the point where I wanted to quit and I didn't want to go on and I didn't want to go to church and I didn't want to go to pray and I didn't, and all those things. It doesn't take long for that eagle to go downhill. First thing that happens, it gets blisters on its feet. It's not used to walking around like a turkey. And then the food that it's eating about kills it. It's not used to eating just what it finds. And it gets calcium and stuff builds up on its beak. It quits preening itself and looking like an eagle. It gets in a mess. You ever been in a mess spiritually? Backslid, off the rock, not praying, not reading your Bible, not being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's about to kill you and wreck your life. 2 Samuel 17:16, the Bible said, "Now therefore sing quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up, and all the people that are with him." If you find yourself moping around in the wilderness, you better get out of it just as quickly as you can. Because if you don't, it'll swallow you up. And you'll not make it out. A lot of eagles die during the moping period because they never get out. But there is a way to get out, and I'm going to tell you about that quickly. There's a way to get it for the eagle that is going through the moping period to get out. What happens is, and there's very few people in the world that have seen it and witnessed it, but what happens is other eagles will find the eagle moping in the wilderness and will catch food for it and fly over and drop down fresh food for the eagle moping in the wilderness to eat. And when they fly over and they drop that food down for their other eagle that's down there, they'll cry out like an eagle does and scream. If you've ever heard an eagle scream, a hawk sounds very familiar to it, but it's something you won't forget. And they'll scream to that eagle down there like they're saying, eat! Eat that food. Get out. Don't die down there. And the eagles that do that, this is interesting, are other eagles that have went through the moping period. You say, preacher, why am I going through what I'm going through? So you can help somebody else get out of it. Because they realize, they fly over and they say, hey, I've been down there. I've been down there where that fella is. Boy, I'd like to see him get out of that mess. I was working last summer down at the car wash, and one of my young preacher friends pulled in there, and I went over to talk to him, and he was so down and so depressed. I said, brother, what's wrong? And he began to tell me about what he is going through. I said, brother, I said, there ain't no reason for you to go through life like this. I said, I've been there. I've been through them same feelings. I know what you're talking about. This too will pass. It'll be all right. You're not the only one. We had prayer and he went away and I seen him a little later on and it seemed to help him. When I first went through a time in my life where I just said, oh God, what are you doing to me? I didn't understand it. But I look back now and I see God will let you go through some things. And he'll let you go through some things so you can help somebody else out. And if that eagle in the wilderness will eat that fresh meat, that's important. That meets the Word of God. If that eagle that is moping, if you ever get off the Word of God, you're real close to dying. You're real close to dying spiritually. If you ever get off that fresh meat of the Word of God, you just ain't going to make it. You might go to heaven, but wouldn't it be sad to die in the wilderness when you could have lived on the rock and died on the rock? Boy, I'd rather die on the rock than to die down there in the wilderness. But if that eagle down there in the wilderness will eat that fresh meat, it will get to the place where it's got just enough strength to make it back to the rock. And if it can make it back to the rock, it can live. If we can get where is that gone in our churches? Where we just see people get right with God and confess and repent. I was somewhere in church a while back, and somebody got up and said, "Preacher, I'm sorry. I brought reproach on the church. Please forgive me. I couldn't believe it. It's been so long." You just don't hear it no more. Where have we got so uppity that we don't even get right with God and each other anymore? We don't humble ourselves and pray and say, "I'm sorry, I've sinned, forgive me, help me." We've left that. No wonder we're so weak. Might be more of us moping than you realize this morning. We need that Word of God to give us strength to get back on the rock. When the eagle gets back on the rock, it'll take its beak and it'll pound its head on that rock until it breaks the calcium off of its beak. We get back to the rock and humble ourselves. But if that eagle that's moping around down there in the wilderness, if it will not eat that food, it'll die down there in the wilderness. And you know who it's up to? It's up to that individual. You know who it's up to this morning? I mean, as a preacher, you can preach and you can counsel and you can talk to people. But you know, I can't make anybody get right. I can't make anybody trust God. I am so helpless when it comes to stuff like that, and you are too. You have people in your family you talk to, you pray for, you try to give them good advice, you try to help them, but who is it, you or them? It's them. That eagle has got to find something in it that wants to live and get back where it needs to be, and if it don't, it'll just die down there in the wilderness. I'm not saying, once again, you lose your salvation. There's a lot of eagles dies in the wilderness. There's a lot of Christians dies out of God's will, without the peace of God, away from bringing shame and reproach upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And then somebody has to stand up and try to preach the funeral and say, "Well, you know, years ago they made a profession, but I don't." Puts a preacher in. Don't live your life to put the preacher in a hard spot when it comes time to preach your funeral. That'd be some good advice this morning for everybody to think about. When you don't live your life in such a way, put me in a spot when it comes time to preach. And I tell you, sometimes you don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't know what to do. But it's real easy when somebody's lived for God and you can just get up and brag on the Lord and say, "We know they're saved. They're in heaven. They live for God. Raise their family. Raise their youngins." What a blessing. What a blessing. Some of them's hard. It's hard to know what to do. Hard to know what to say. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.